Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Well, welcome everybody to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Linda and I are here with Jane Meeks from Light Group Ministries. And Jane is going to talk about a book that she wrote that is what I call it, a companion, or maybe it's an extended tool to abortion recovery, whether it's Forgiven and Set Free, Surrendering the Secret, Transforming Your Story, then Living Recovery, any of those. I'm just real excited for you to learn about what she's doing, how God is moving in her heart. And so thank you, Jane, for spending some time with us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
It's good. Well, you want to just tell us a little bit about your story and how God led you on this path?
Sure. I was raised in a Christian family, and I grew up hearing God's word. And I have a scripture that meant a lot to me when I was 14 and I accepted Christ as my savior. It's Isaiah 26:4, and it says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." And that word gave me so much strength growing up in my 20s and 30s and going through deep losses and transitions. And then there's one other one, which relates to what we're doing now as well. John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Mm. And here I am now today in a ministry called Light Group Ministries. But it was that drawing when I was 14 and going through my teens that I wanted to be a conduit of God's love and to shine his light into the dark places in the world, and just to help people have a relationship with Christ and draw closer to them, and not to be stuck in the darkness, but to be in the light. I had imagery of that looking out my bedroom window one night when I was a teenager. So going from there to being in post-abortive ministry and watching God shine his light into the darkness of women who have experienced abortion is just such a blessing. And I've been a licensed mental health counselor and an art therapist for over 30 years. And this is, I can say, the most gratifying mission I have ever felt called to be a part of.
Mm. Wow, that's awesome. And so you do or do not have abortion in your past?
I do not have abortion in my past. Had I gotten pregnant at a very young age, I'm pretty certain I would have chosen abortion. We did not have ultrasounds back then. It was a blob of tissue. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would have thought much of it to go ahead and have an abortion. I'm very thankful that I didn't have to make that choice, but I certainly understand a little bit about what women go through.
Yeah. And so there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be curious how the Lord walked you down this road, I guess, I'm losing my words, on how you don't have abortion in your past, and yet you wrote a book for women to help them. And nobody knows what that book is because we haven't talked about it, but just, I want to learn a little bit more about that road and that journey.
I could talk about it for an hour because it's been like three different awarenesses that God gave to me that led me to the place of writing the book. And the first one happened in 2014. I was walking on the beach and, have you ever had like God show you something you never even ever thought about or had any idea of, and how, you just are stunned and thinking about it. This happened at the beach. This beach was strewn with sea turtle eggs. They were broken open from a storm that had come and dug up the nests. And the Lord said, just very still to me, these are my unborn children who have been murdered.
Hmm.
And I felt his deep sorrow and I felt his anger. He was angry at our country for allowing this to happen. And I get teary expressing it, but I walked around in deep depression for over a week with this on my heart and feeling and sensing just a tiny bit of what God was feeling towards this sin. And there is no sin greater than another, but he was sharing with me this one and how it grieved him and sorrowed him. So then a National Day of Prayer happened, and I'm standing outside with my eyes closed as they're praying for the nation and the unborn. And this was probably a few months later, and an image of a baby in the womb came into my mind. God speaks to us in ways that he knows we will hear him, and I'm visual. So here is this visual of a baby in the womb. And then I'm feeling this nudge to paint this. So I could go into the details of all of that, but the result of that was me doing a study on the developmental stages. I never even would recognize an ultrasound picture when my kids would be pregnant with grandkids and they would send me a picture. So here I am now studying the developmental stages of babies. And the result was an art exhibit that was seven paintings of babies in the womb from 4 weeks to 40 weeks. And each baby shares in first person what's going on with it during that stage of your life. God's message that he wanted conveyed in that exhibit is his love for each of us because we're so beautifully and wonderfully made. So all of a sudden I see God's love. And I had no idea of the reaction that was going to happen, the responses when women walked through and saw this exhibit. We have a Downtown Friday exhibit once a month, and I was asked to be there. So it was just one of those exhibits when you walk down the street in Vero Beach. Women came in, and some were just overjoyed because they're remembering their babies at certain stages. Some came in and immediately turned around and left.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some came in and their responses were of such pain and distress. You could just see it in their faces and tears running down their eyes. And they would come up to me and tell me that they had had an abortion. It was the deepest sorrow that I have felt coming from somebody. And they had felt God's love through this exhibit, through those babies, because it's the story of you and how each of us were made and how much God loves us. But they felt that love, but they wanted to reach out finally and share their secret. So that was the second awareness. Being a counselor, I referred them to our local care net to take Surrendering the Secret because I knew of the program from an inner healing study that I had been in. And then I thought I was done with it. And I went ahead with the exhibit and shared at different places. One of the babies is Jesus in the exhibit, which has a whole nother addition to the meaning of what's conveyed when they see it. And I can talk about that later. So then—
Real quick, let me just step in. If somebody wanted to view these paintings, they can go out to Jane Meek's Art and view them there?
Yes, it's on my website.
Is that
fabulous.org
or .com?
Jane. Okay, my website is Jane, my whole first name spelled out, janemeeksart.com.
.com. Okay. Good.
And it has their stories, each one.
Okay, good.
There are three three-dimensional. That was the other thing. The image that I saw in my mind was three-dimensional. So I had to use my creativity to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. So,
and they were big. I mean, big paintings weren't in back then because this was like 2015. Anyway, okay, so the next awareness to get me from there was the Lord just impressed upon my heart. Again, I didn't really know the contents of the studies, these powerful studies that are written that take the women through the healing. And he's telling me in my soul that the women need more healing after these studies. Well, that was a mystery to me because I didn't know what the healing was. And he was wanting me to find the healing that these women needed because God loves us so much. He wants us to have a personal, a close relationship with him. And these women were coming out of the studies having been freed from the secret they had kept and receiving healing, but there is still something in many of them blocking their relationship, a really close personal relationship with God, trying to grasp forgiveness. So I asked some of the women that I had referred to Surrendering the Secret to join me in a coming together once a week, and we would go through where they are, and I would walk with them through more healing. I went through Surrendering the Secret to learn the contents of the study, and then we sat together, and God led us over a three-year period from where they were, which was really, they never could retain the last couple weeks of their study because they were still trying to process, and they couldn't find their notes, they couldn't find their study, they were not wanting to open it up and look at it. And it's so much, there's a process of assimilation when God makes us new, and that's trying to assimilate all that information and who we are now. And you're still in the throes of that after just 8 weeks, and I'll move on. So we met together, followed God through healing, and then came the process of writing the book. I am not a writer and don't really like to write. So COVID came, 2020. And I was at home. And just prior to that, maybe a few months before, one of the women that joined our group after taking study was a retired editor. She had just retired. So here we had COVID and an editor and the information.
That's convenient.
God will supply all our needs.
Yes.
And he'll make sure we get the job done if we obey, right?
That's right.
So the study came out in 2021, the book.
Okay.
And it was a compilation. There's testimonies of each of the women that were in that group at that time. That's how the study became written.
Okay. And real quick, the study name is The Next Step. And the synopsis of this study is, what is the purpose of this study?
The purpose of this study is to take people to a deeper healing so that they can share their story. Did you know that only 10% of the women coming out of these studies, that's a statistic, that's how many people will share their story of their
life? Wow.
I didn't know that. Where did you get that statistic?
Debbie Eford, she has a ministry in Texas.
Okay.
And God just led me to call her because I didn't think that I needed to write this study and I needed somebody to tell me that it needed to happen. And she said she had been praying for somebody to write the study. I also, I'll just leave it at that. So the goal with the next step was to make it compatible with all of the studies. So I went through and learned the contents of each of the studies that have been written. They're powerful studies. They're just amazing authors. And then to take them to a deeper level by going through more of the material in just different ways.
So okay. Some of it, the review then in a way?
Some of it, I always made it new. It was the next step into a deeper healing. Each week is the next step in a deeper healing. The first week they are share, well, the first week they meet each other and share about their children, because only 10% of them ever share. So you have people in your group that you've not known before, and you finally get to talk about your children in a safe place, and others get to share about their children. I have a testimony about that in here as we go on.
Go ahead and share it. Go ahead and share it.
She said that it was a place where she could go and tell about her son and linger in his presence a little bit longer as she shared with others. And they also shared about their children with her. And it was a safe place to do that.
That's beautiful. Okay, so this study is for women who've come out of abortion recovery healing group and they want to go deeper into some of these things. So how long is the study?
It's a 7-week study.
Okay.
And it has a leader's guide in the back of it.
Okay. Hmm. So it's with a leader's guide. And do you do this virtually, in person, or both?
Both.
Okay. Oh, that's great. Have you considered a retreat model?
That's on the books to happen. Our group is actually starting to offer our first retreat, but it's for forgiven and set free. Okay. But we've learned how to do retreats. And our goal is to have one ready in the fall using the next step.
Okay. So your group is doing abortion recovery and then the next step. You're doing both.
Yes.
Your team. Okay, that's great. And where are you at again? What area?
Vero Beach, Florida.
Say that one more time.
Vero, V-E-R-O.
Okay.
Beach.
Okay. Florida. I think you got cut off. So you just told us about one lady who had gone through your study and what they were learning and how this study was growing them. Tell us some more. Do you have some more testimonies for us?
Mm-hmm. I do. The Boston Center for Pregnancy Choices, when they hired their new director, they required her to go through Forgiven and Set Free, mm-hmm. and the next step. They were familiar with it. With the next step. Her name's Diane O'Toole, and it was a part of her training to become the new director. And at their gala, she began the sharing of her abortion story by stating, if it wasn't for going through Forgiven and Set Free and the next step study, she wouldn't have been able to do what she was about to do. And then she shared about her abortion and a life-saving message that 40% of those women that were there might have been involved in abortion and were able to experience and hear Diane's story. So that was like a really big moment. We have many from our group now. Our study, we have geared up to try to raise 75% of the women, to equip them going through the study to be able to share in some capacity what they have been through. And it's been amazing to see from Diane with hundreds to one that locally shared at our CareNet in Vero Beach to again a few hundred, down to somebody standing in a park next to another woman and bringing up the conversation of healing from abortion. So it's just amazing to see God's light shine through these women that are healed and lead others into that healing.
Yeah.
So do you actually go into the practical things of how to share your story then? Is that a part of a chapter or?
Well, you know, it's well done in the studies that we've named that are already there. This is like a sequel. You know, this study is like when women are done with that with their first study, they say, well, where do we go from here? What do we do now? And I have leaders asking or saying that all the time. This is what the women say when they're done with the retreat. Well, now what do we do? So tell me your question again, Linda, because I got all.
I was just wondering, that's a pretty major component of what you're doing, is actually practically helping them script their story and knowing how to share it.
There is, and as I started to say and got off track, there are things that are taught through the first studies that touch on that. But as I was writing this, God very much impressed upon me the fear factor is mm-hmm. the biggest preventative in sharing the story. The fear factor and not having a close enough relationship with him to overcome the fear factor, to realize that he's bigger than anything else and anyone else and what anyone else is going to see as him. So there are studies, there are scripture examples that we go through in this study about your giant, and then there's things covered about when you should share your story and when you shouldn't share your story. And those are in there too. So it's as I said, it's material that's been covered before. One of our speakers that speaks to big crowds will do a teaching on sharing your testimony. Mm-hmm. But they already have learned some things coming into this study. This is the one that really gets them out there to speak.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so addressing this fear, what's that look like in your study? The fear factor, how are you addressing that deeper?
David and Goliath.
Okay.
We talk about that, and we talk about who are their giants, mm-hmm. who are they most afraid of, what are they most afraid of in what's going to happen when they share their story.
Okay.
And we break that down and lay it before the Lord and hear from him and learn how to overcome it.
Okay.
But God is bigger than anything else. And once he is in that position in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, we have the strength to move forward and step out.
And that's so true. That is so true. Okay. So do you have any more questions about this study, Linda?
Well, you have piqued my interest for sure, Jane. This is really exciting and so needed. I mean, as we've talked to people across the country, it seems like God is saying, okay, I love your title, the next step, you know, how to engage these women, because we are the voice, you know, after we're healed, we are the voice that's going to change the whole dialogue in our country, you know, to be able to talk about abortion. But if we're not doing it, we've been silenced. So I love that you are really focusing on helping them tell the story. And another word that's come up as we've talked some about this after stuff was like discipleship or mentoring, you know, continuing mm-hmm. those relationships, because you're right, you know, in those 8, 9, 10, 12 weeks, whatever the study is, or the retreat especially, you know, it's such a flood of material. They're so emotional going through all of that, that even the review, I could just see how valuable that would be to go back and dig deeper. So I'm really excited about this.
Good. I have something that you might enjoy hearing that's a transformation that happens that we have a visual of. The first week of the study, we start out with a little drawing. I'm being my art therapy background comes into this, but this is so simple. You put a dot on one side of the paper that represents you or any shape you want, and then you put a mark on the paper that represents God, and you decide how close they are or how far apart they are by how you're feeling that day. So where is God and where are you? And then we pray and ask the Lord to show us anything that might be between them or around those places. And then you put that on the paper. It can be a line. It can be, you know, it doesn't have to be anything that looks like an artist drew it. It's just marks on the paper that will exemplify what you're feeling. So then we do that on the first week. And then on the last week, we do the same thing again after 7 weeks. And one example of the difference, the progress that was made, a woman was hiding behind a tree and God's on the other side of the paper. And then on the 7th week, she is sitting in God's lap.
Love it.
And another one that I just loved was this woman was face down on the ground. And week seven, she was sitting next to Jesus, looking in his eyes.
You know, I wanted to come back to that, Jane. That just really fascinates me, the whole art therapy, you know, and we tend in our culture to be so printed word and factual based. And I think that this is wonderful that God has married those, because I think visual, we haven't done as much with, have we?
No, most people are afraid of visual.
Yeah,
they just think they can't, you know, and there's a lot of resistance when you even mention it.
And not that I'm drawing, but to see an image can communicate so much deeper on a deeper level. Tell us a little more about that, how you've seen that play into the healing.
Well, a picture's worth a thousand words, to use a sentence that's been used over and over again. The art maker communicates with the art viewer. You know, the art speaks to the viewer. There is a nonverbal subconscious interaction going on there. And when it happens, it can't be denied, because it's something you've felt and you've seen and you've observed. It's not like somebody telling you something and, well, I don't know if I feel that way or not. I mean, there is a communication factor between the art piece and the viewer.
I know I saw one time a painting, and I don't even know who or what. I have a copy of it on my phone because I was so touched, but it was the woman caught in adultery, bent down, face in the sand, and Jesus right in front of her. And I still want to get choked up about it. There was something about that painting that spoke to my soul of the humbling before the Lord and his acceptance. And all of that in a picture, you know, that could communicate within just seconds.
Yes.
Do you see other ways that we can incorporate the visual into some of our healing things?
I call them experiential, because we're experiencing God if we're doing it like in a Bible study, where we are delving into his word and we're trying to gather meaning for something. So sometimes just taking time to seek him and to allow him to speak to us, he's going to speak to some people with words, scripture, and he's going to speak to some people with images, things he'll bring to mind. And so I think there's a use for it where you're comfortable. And in the study, you'll find that I bring that in with scripture and give people a chance to put themselves in that place and visualize where something's happening, like David and Goliath and like Lazarus coming out of the cave, and allowing God to speak in that way. So I'm really not talking about professional painting as much as I am God speaking through visual imagery.
Well, and what is it doing in the brain when we're shifting from a logical standpoint to a creative standpoint? How's that helping them?
It bypasses words and logic and, you know, I'm having trouble finding words now.
You're not alone.
It's shifting your brain from, like, people, places, and problems, okay, that go on in our brain all the time. It's shifting them and focusing on something that is nonverbal, that communicates on a different level.
Okay. Yeah, because they say, you know, just getting up and going into the other room, changing your location can also take your brain and kind of break it out of that space, you know, and moving, you know, so like we do object lessons, some that have some physical component to them, you know, where they have to move around a little bit. But so I can see where art would be good. I would love to see. Now, we're going to have Sylvia Blakely on. Have you talked with her?
I haven't, but I know who she is.
Okay. You guys need to connect because she also has a heavy art emphasis as well, and bringing art into this and art therapy into this. And we're going to have her on later. I can't remember exactly when it is, but later this year, talking more about art therapy in this space. And I just think it would be a really good way, because being a non, I'm a creative, but not in the terms of drawing things, right? Like digitally, mm-hmm. like can do creative things. And so finding easy ways like this little example that you gave us, I think is really powerful to kind of just break it up and go, wait a minute, what is in the way? And, you know, putting a little mark in there, and it just is something different about seeing things visually in different ways that just really help you grasp the meaning, you know, or like you said, the experiential of putting yourself in the tomb with Lazarus and hearing God's voice say, you know, Mindy, come forth, and, you know, you're coming out, kind of a thing. It just gets your brain into a different space and gives you a different perspective. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm getting to the right words here. I'm talking it through.
It's true. And because, and I'm, the words are coming back to me. You're in your cognitive space, and we need to get into the affective space, the emotional space. And that's where God really can touch us.
Okay.
As we walk around in our cognitive space.
Okay. And I only have a brief understanding of that. So just real quick, for those of us like myself who aren't, you know, in this field, cognitive basically is logic, words.
Yes.
Okay. And affective is this experience, emotional.
Yes.
Okay.
You got it.
Okay. Just making sure I knew what I was talking about.
And I think they say that cognitive is not really where we make our decisions. It's the affective is where the decisions come from.
Very good point. Yes. It definitely is a strong influencer.
Well, and that's why they say don't make decisions when you've had this major life change. Mm-hmm. No, don't make major decisions when you have a death in the family, or, you know, a major health crisis or a divorce, or, you know, don't go around making decisions because you're not making them with a clear understanding. I could see that.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and when God is impacting our emotions, our feelings, it's going to be his truth versus a circumstance that's causing our feelings. So it's important to tap into what God wants us to think and feel when we're doing those things.
100%. Because when we have an abortion, we're having it out of fear. Mm-hmm. That's generally the underlying emotion that we're having an abortion out of, is fear of losing something, fear of not getting something, fear of missing out on something. And I hear a lot of women try to rationalize, oh, it made perfect sense to me. But the reality is when you break it all down, there was a fear of something. It made sense because I had this fear of losing that.
And like you're saying, the fear is what keeps us from telling our stories afterwards too.
And yes, and it just shifts. Fear doesn't go away. It just shifts, and it keeps us silent and isolated and secluded. And when we have God's truth applied, as much fear as we're feeling, because it's not that the fear isn't real,
right,
and isn't valid. It's just that it's not true. Half the time, the fear that we experience is not true.
Yes.
It's not deep. It's very shallow. You know, it doesn't go. And once we get past, once those ladies that come into the pregnancy centers sit down and talk about their options and about resources and about all these things, and they start to kind of wheedle through some of these things that were fears, they find out that there's really nothing there. You know, it's not valid. It's not really real. It's not, it's a facade, mm-hmm. more than anything. And I guess I don't know where I was going with that.
Trying to wind up here, we're kind of getting to the end of our time. Any tips on using it, the next steps, or ideas that you have gleaned that you would like to pass along for us to use the study?
Get it and open it and read it, read through it, It says in there that you need to practice the or go through the exercises yourself. Don't just read about them, get out whatever things there are and follow the directions. And you're going to know what to do with the ladies that you're leading. I wrote this with in mind that, you know, the women need a support group when they come out of Surrendering the Secret, Forgiven and Set Free, Rachel's Vineyard, all that. People want a support group, but support groups without something leading and guiding them ends up being, well, did you hear what my kids did today? And,
right.
you know, all of the things that are just people and problems.
Yeah.
So we needed something to focus them on God and what he wants for them to heal. Those who have been trained in leadership will take this study much deeper, and I believe it would be a lot richer for whoever attends. But I think it's written to be used even as simply as that, if somebody has gone through the first study and feels equipped, you know, to take this on. So we don't need any huge training, but it needs to be somebody that is familiar with one of the other previous studies. They're all so good, or has been through a retreat and a study. And then you were asking me what any Oops. Other, oh, that if somebody does not know their child or has been in denial through that whole process in their previous study, they're not ready
right.
to take this, and they would need to go back. You would need to see where they are in the healing. And the first chapter asks a lot of questions to help determine that. And it's really better if they go back and repeat a study than to move on into things that were needing to be healed previously.
I agree but with that.
That forgiveness factor that is huge, that they started in the first study, but because the Satan has all of these lies he just penetrates our minds with, that they, it's hard not to believe them, and it's hard not to keep walking in them. So this relationship with God needs to grow deeper and stronger, so they hear his word above any of the things of the enemy. And they've been listening to the enemy, some people 30 and 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes more group time, more delving into the word, more Bible studies to begin to hear God's truth and be able to walk, really walk in the light and who he has made you now, and to begin to feel you're ready to give back and go out there and take the hand of other women and lead them out of their darkness and show them what their lives can be like, and let them use their voices to bring others and also to save the unborn.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a question for you before we get off, because you do not have abortion in your past, and you bravely stepped into this very sacred space that you knew nothing about. You studied all the studies, you went over them, you made sure you understood what the women were going to be going through before you wrote your book. What challenges do you face personally in this kind of ministry, not having an abortion in your past?
The most recent one was to get to understand that women who have experienced abortion view women who have not had an abortion. They can view us as judgmental and critical and fearful of what we think of them. Mm. And so I was not focused on how important that is for me to show through actions and not just words, compassion and respect and encouragement for the women who are post-abortive, so that they can receive that in a safe way from myself and from others, that there are those of us out there that have such a deep heart and compassion for them and want to help. And we see them as whole because we aren't experiencing the depth of their pain. So we can speak into them wholeness that is there, that they may not yet be at that point to feel themselves.
Hmm. That's good. That's good. And what are the joys that you're having as you're doing this ministry? Because you mentioned in the very beginning, this is probably the best thing you've ever done. Uh-huh. So what are those joys?
just one of them is to see the women enjoy their children that they didn't even know they should give personhood to and grieve, to see them, that them enjoy that for them. And I don't know if enjoy is the word, but it's cherished, an individual that they brought life to and that's with the Lord now, that they're going to see someday, to see that hope and that healing and some of that joy of being able to embrace that child within them. That's huge. And seeing the transformation, a woman that just gave her testimony to, first of all, pastor's breakfast. That's a really scary place to give your testimony first. No, actually, she gave it to a Bible study first, a women's Bible study of six or eight women. And to see three of those women join a Bible study, a healing Bible study. That's awesome. And then to see them transform and to see them going out and grabbing their friends. You've got to go do this. You've got to go do this. Just to see God's work in action.
Yeah.
And to see him producing workers for the field, which we all need in these ministries. You know, these are women that want to give back.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you, Jane. You have enlightened us with so much good information today. And we appreciate your time.
My wheels are turning. And thank you for being willing to step into the places the Lord called to you.
Yes.
Thank you for giving the next step an opportunity to get out there so that people can continue in their growth period and have that closer personal relationship with God that we all want to have.
Yes.
And what was that website where we can order it?
Yes.
Lightgroupministries.org.
Okay. And so it's not available on Amazon or any other place, only there.
Not yet.
Okay. Okay. So make sure we understand that.
All right. And it's also on my website too.
All right. And we'll have your email in the show notes. So if anyone wants to contact you and find out more, ask more questions, go deeper, or even use your study, they can do so.
Yes. I hope that they'll reach out. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Mindy.